Hi, this is Pat Bruff from Fink & Paris Insurance Agency. Welcome to our podcast, Local and Mighty, the podcast about Massachusetts personal and commercial insurance, mixed in with a little bit of fun.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Fink & Paris podcast, Local and Mighty. I'm Pat Bruff, and today's episode's guest is our senior commercial lines manager and also the office manager, Beth Carballo. Hey, Beth.
Hey, Pat.
How's it going?
All's well with a little bit of snow that's falling out there
yes,
today.
Yes, it is April 4th when we're recording this. And I think we have more snow falling today than we have in a long time.
Yep, I have to agree.
It's pretty crazy. And I really didn't want to have to shovel, but I might have to maybe do a little bit. No fun.
Nope,
You're going to have to do some too, I think.
It's more slushy.
So, Beth, this is your first time on the podcast, and like all the guests, I want to start with by giving you a few minutes to kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up over here at Fink & Paris Insurance.
Well, I am locally from the area. I grew up in Northampton. I went to college at Western New England College for business management. Ended up here at Fink & Paris in 2003 as a receptionist, and about 5 months later, I started in the personal lines, working on personal lines. About 12 years ago, I moved into commercial lines, and this past year, I am now the senior commercial lines manager and also the office manager.
Oh, you're the office manager as well, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to be on my really best behavior, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a good idea for me. That being said, today we are here to talk about commercial lines specifically, and we're here to talk about workers' compensation and the dreaded audit. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what workers' comp is, how you get a quote for that, and kind of all the steps, right?
Correct.
So let's just kind of just jump right into it. So what is workers' comp? What is a workers' comp policy, and who is it for?
So first, anyone, any business, any person that has an employee has to have a workers' comp policy in place. And what this workers' comp policy does is it pays for any medical expenses, lost wages if an employee is injured, also rehabilitation costs, and also people that might become ill in the scope of their job. The benefits from the workers' comp policy, if injured, also gives payment for medical, hospital services, prescription drugs, weekly compensation for lost income during the policy if the employee is not able to work.
So, it's something that everyone needs. It's not something that I start a business and I hire a bunch of employees that I could just skip, right?
No, you are required by the state to have workers' comp if you have one employee, whether they work 1 hour, 5 hours, 40 hours.
You know, and I told Beth when we started this, I wasn't going to go off the script, but I'm going to go off the outline that we have here just for a second. So before we get into the what if I am the employer, I'm a painter, and I hire five painters to paint with me, and I don't get workers' comp insurance, and somebody shows up?
So if the Department of Industrial Acts show up, they will shut you down and they will fine you, and you have to get workers' comp right away. Otherwise, you get fined every day until you prove to them that you've obtained workers' comp.
So you can't avoid it. Or you can, but it until might you cost get caught, you a lot.
Or if someone gets injured.
Or someone gets hurt. Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
So not everyone will have the same policy, or will they, when it comes to workers' comp? So let's talk about how a policy is started. How do you know how much you have to pay, and how do you come up with a quote for somebody as far as a workers' comp policy?
So when someone comes into the office, we have to ask them what they're doing. You know, what type of work are you doing? Are you a painter, a landscaper? Are you working in an office? Do you own a restaurant? We figure out how many employees, the payroll associated with those employees, and then we put together an application and we submit to the carrier for quoting.
Okay, so the important thing on this is as far as coming up with the numbers, it's the payroll figure and then the class code figure, right?
Correct.
So if we here in the office, we have a workers' comp policy, everyone here is clerical, essentially, because we all sit in this building doing clerical stuff, for lack of a better term. But what if you're a contractor? And we're going to pick on contractors a lot, because I'm hoping that's who's really listening to this. And, or you're a restaurant owner, but a contractor in particular that has, let's say an office let's say that office that kind of runs the day-to-day, the books, if you will. And then they have people that are carpenters or plumbers or electricians. Let's say it's a, you know, full service contractor. How do you figure out, or what's the difference? What's the difference between, can I just tell you, oh, my payroll is $100,000 and that's it, and I move on?
Well, you could, but it may not work out for your benefit.
Okay.
So basically, I would ask you, how many office people do you have? Is there one person that's only in the office, doesn't go out in the field? We find out what their payroll is. Then we have to figure out what the payroll is for the people out in the field. Mm-hmm. And then that's how we determine the classifications that go, and then work towards a premium as to what you're going to be paying.
Yeah, so it's always important to get the right classification for the person's job. And we say this too all the time. I don't need to know that Pat Bruff and Beth Carballo and Sam Mason work here at the office. I just need to know that they're all under the clerical code, and their payroll is 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. I need to know that number.
Correct.
If let's say Pat wins the lottery and decides he's going to leave, and we replace Pat, and then we replace Beth, you don't have to call us and tell us, oh, we replaced Pat and Beth. We still have the same, we replaced people to do their job for the same amount of money. We just need to know that. We just don't need to know the names of the
people.
Correct. People, it's not sometimes based on, get caught up on that. Right. Like, oh, I had, you know, employee XYZ leave. What do I do now?
No.
So we don't have to worry about that.
Nope.
So, you know, in the class codes, it can be drastic. Like you said, it's important to do that. So clerical class code, and they figure it out per thousand, right? So it's the payroll number per thousand, and
There is a rate per every class code, and that is determined by the state of Mass.
Okay.
So it's not just determined by the insurance company what the rate is for that class.
Okay.
So we have someone that does masonry, and they have a clerical person in the office. They're only charging 4 cents per thousand, okay, which is very inexpensive. However, the mason that is out in the field, he is paying $7.08 per thousand, which is right, a little more pricey.
A lot.
Right.
Right. Because again, they're basing that on the I don't want to say danger because that's not the right word. The chances that he's going to get hurt,
correct,
are basically what they're saying.
Right, correct.
And the likelihood of accordingly,
right, and someone inside the office most likely will not be injured as much as someone outside the office.
Right. So you said 4 cents for clerical. So let's go to restaurant. Like for a second, you know, there's a restaurant classification, which again, restaurants are kind of weird because they're like an office. Really, they mm-hmm. only have a rate for everybody except for drivers, right?
Isn't drivers different.
A little different? Yep. But in general, the class code for a restaurant is, it, you know, if you're in the building doing some kind of restaurant, whether you're washing the dishes, cooking, or waiting the tables, it's the same code, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the same can be said again. There is a giant book, right,
of oh, yeah.
class codes.
So, oh, yeah. There's so many out there. There's a class code for everything and anything, basically. And if you don't know, you can find out what it is. But again, that's all set by the state.
Okay. All right. So the do all carriers write workers' comp? Does it matter if I'm starting a business or I've been in business for a long time? Like, how does that work?
So all carriers will write a workers' comp policy. But if you're a new business, most companies will not write a new business workers' comp policy. There are some exceptions, office exposures, dentists, doctors, and a couple other classes that are low hazard. Contractors, though, they will not write a new business. And therefore, we can find you a market.
Right.
But that's when we have to go to the assigned risk pool.
Okay. And the assigned risk pool is?
It's a state program. So we put the application in, and the state actually assigns you to a workers' comp carrier. So there's not a choice as to where you go. They automatically assign you to that carrier.
Okay. So again, it's not as simple as we can quote with a bunch of carriers and hope for the lowest rate around as far as, you know, when we do a general liability or business auto or something like that, you can, you know, the rates are a little bit different here and there. The rates in reality should all be close to the same if we're using the same payroll number, whether it's carrier ABC or carrier XYZ.
Correct. So if someone comes to me and then they come to you and give us the same information, you and I should basically have the same quote.
Okay.
The only difference, some carriers offer rate deviations, which can be a scheduled credit, or some might have a dividend plan. But the main rate that's set by the state, you and I should be giving the same figures.
Okay. Yeah. So, and again, we every once in a while get a commercial client who says, oh, my workers' comp policy is way too high. Can you shop this? And realistically,
you can't.
You really can't. It's not like a type of policy that we can shop.
No, the only difference is if we have a contractor and they've been in the assigned risk for X amount of years, we can look to see if someone might take it. That's really the only thing we could try to do.
Right.
But typically the rate isn't going to be that much of a difference.
Right. The assigned risk pool, they're charging you a little bit more, but it's not a drastic amount more.
Correct.
Versus being in the admitted markets.
Correct.
All right. So you start your policy. You've been in business for a while, and other factors we didn't talk about that can affect your rate drastically is your experience mods, or the technical term is experience modification factor. What is that, and what does that do, and who creates that rate, like this modification, which basically is telling you what?
So the experience modification factor is a rating factor. It's based on the 3 years prior to your most recent policy period. So if you've had claims, the state has a formula that they use. And with the claims, you most likely are going to be assessed a experience mod, which will increase your premium. On the flip side, if you've been in business for more than 3 years and you have not had any claims, then you can get a credit on your workers' comp policy.
Okay. All right. So no claims, good. Lots of claims, bad.
Correct.
Or even a couple claims. It depends, you know, it depends on how bad the claims are, right? Too, doesn't that matter?
You could have one claim with a high payout, or you could have several claims with a small payout. Mm-hmm. They're both going to affect you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And generally speaking, that's why they have this experience modification, so that it's a surcharge.
Correct.
People are used to knowing what a surcharge
is.
That's really realistically what that is.
Correct.
And so how does that work? I think, did you already say that? How this works? How do they come up with that experience modification? Is it based on a year, at like every year, or is
it? It's a formula based on 3 years.
Okay.
So a claim you might have had last year may not affect you right away, but eventually it will catch up with you. And the carriers create that experience modification factor. And that's what the carriers look at when they do your renewal policy. Some will increase because of claims and payouts. Some may decrease.
Okay. All right. So again, all these things are factors that are, they're determined kind of by you as far as having a safe work environment, not having claims, but it also, you know, the numbers are created essentially by the state.
Correct.
We don't have any.
No, we don't create them. The insurance carrier doesn't create them.
Correct. All right. So let's fast forward just a little bit. Let's fast forward to the thing we really came here to talk about, I think, is the audit process. So we think about workers' comp policy. You think about your other policies, they just kind of come and go. Every year there's, you know, your general liability policy is probably going to go up, but they're not going to, generally speaking, ask how much more sales you have. Some policies do, I get that. But the workers' comp, let's just dive right into there. It really matters at the end of the year what the figures were that you gave us. So talk about the workers' comp policy and the audit, which everyone loves, right?
Yeah. I don't think anyone likes doing the audits. They're time consuming and you need to provide paperwork for it.
All right. So we ask you when you start the policy, we ask those payroll questions. We ask, what is your payroll going to be for the year? And then we ask you, what are the class codes going to be and the payroll associated with them? And we basically are asking you to give us a crystal ball and tell us
what's try to have you give us your best estimate. So based on how many employees, what do you think you're going to pay them for the year, part-time, full-time? And then once you tell us what you're doing, we help figure out the class codes and where that needs to be. But your first year is always the toughest year because you're really estimating.
All right. So why and why is it important to get those estimates pretty close?
So tell the reason us, you want to get
what
it.
What is the audit? I mean, what is it realistically?
So what the audit is the audit's going back at your prior policy and making sure your payroll figures were correct, that your class codes were correct. So even though you're renewing, they're looking back a year to make sure that what you estimated was correct.
Right, because the other way to look at that is they are going to pay a claim for workers' comp for somebody getting injured, whether you gave them a low number or a high number. Mm-hmm. But so they want to be sure that they're paid for what they were covering you for, right?
Correct. Yes. Because if there is a claim, you need to, as an employer, you need to provide, you know, pay information for that employee that was injured and what kind of job duties they had.
Talk about what they're asking for. So you said a lot of paperwork. What kind of paperwork? What kind of paperwork?
So basically, your policy would renew, and then you're either going to get a call or you're going to get a letter from the carrier, from an auditor, saying that they want to audit your prior term policy. So what they're looking for is they're going to ask you for payroll records. They're going to ask you for tax records. This is all to verify employees' payroll and see what you had on there was correct or
not. So you can't just take this piece of paper and write, that's how much I paid.
No, you cannot. You have to. If you do not provide the tax documents or the payroll, it'll be completed basically as an estimated audit because you did not provide the information that was asked for.
Okay. All right. So explain what happens if you then sit down or your accountant sits down or whoever you have doing this audit for you, and you realize, hey, you know what? I used $100,000 in payroll for my carpenter class, but realistically, I only paid out $50,000 in payroll for that class. What would happen in that? Just that one particular piece.
So that would end up generating a refund. And then what they would do with that money is they would apply it to any outstanding balance you might have. And if there's no balance, then you actually get a check back in the mail from the carrier.
Okay. So now the other way. I had a really good year and I had to pay my carpenter's payroll $180,000.
That's tough.
Yeah. So I've paid out but my payroll was much higher. And so what happens in those situations? So
then you're going to get charged for the difference of the 100 that was on the policy versus the 180, which will generate a bill. That bill will go out pretty quick once the audit is complete, and you will not be given a lot of time to have to pay that bill.
Oh, yes.
Not much time at all. And you're not normally allowed to do payments either. It is a lump sum.
Which is never...
Nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that. But that is like part of... That's why we're doing this, because I think a lot of people don't realize when they have started workers' comp policy or they don't understand the logistics of doing those. And,
right.
And they're time-consuming, right?
Yes, they can be.
If you just have a handful of people, it could be relatively easy. But if you have more than a few, it could turn into a big, big process.
And it can depend on your business, depending on, if you're a paper person or you're just like to be on the field or,
You mean like I've seen on your desk like some scratch paper that someone wrote how many hours they think they paid so-and-so?
Well, not everyone is a paper person, which right. means that right. they don't want to deal with the audits. So yeah. for them to try to get the paperwork needed can be tough sometimes.
Yeah.
It is doable.
It is.
But it is hard.
So what happens? Who calls you? Does the carrier specifically call you, or do they have some mechanism that they use to get the audit done?
So normally we don't get notified until someone hasn't done the audit most of the time.
Right.
But normally the insured gets notification first, whether it's email, letter, phone call. Mm-hmm.
And so then sometimes answer the phone.
Yes. And then sometimes I then get the call. Yeah. Then I'll get the call sometimes from an insured, that there's an audit. Do they have to do the audit? Sometimes I'll get a call from the auditor asking for help if they've reached out to the insured and they haven't responded. Mm-hmm. But we usually don't get contacted until they've made a couple attempts, and then we usually get involved.
All right. So let's just say I decide, I don't like doing paperwork. I don't want to do this audit. So I either ignore it or I'm just way too busy and I don't open my mail.
Happens often.
Okay. So what happens then?
So if you decide you don't want to do it, the company gives you...
it's just funny to say, but okay. Yeah.
Companies give you 2 to 3 chances where they postpone the date and they give you more time. But then if you just decide, I'm not doing it, then they will do their own estimate at the audit, which 99% of the time... will increase your payroll just because they can.
Yeah. And we say this all the time, like they guesstimate and they are not going to do this in your favor.
No, they are not.
They are not going to say, you know what? We looked and we saw that Paprof Carpentry wasn't doing this well. So we're going to just lower his payroll figures this year.
That does not happen.
It never happens. Okay. So then they do, let's say I ignore. Now I get a bill because they've decided to increase my payroll $100,000.
And now you're calling me.
And now I'm calling you. And I'm saying, Beth, I didn't realize this was important.
Right. I get those calls often about how they came up with it. And I'll say, well, did you do your audit? No. Well, they didn't. So I explain the process. But you still actually can do your audit. So okay. There's two different ways. Because some carriers will just do a paper audit where you fill it out. You send it in with your tax information, payroll information. Or I have to call the carrier and we have to ask to have the audit reopened.
Okay. Which is a process.
It is a process. And sometimes we have a deadline and the deadline is given is not a lot of time.
So, you know, as we already said before, it's just important to get those payroll figures right. And somebody it might be to their benefit to make sure they're doing the audit accurately.
Most of the time it is.
On time, because generally speaking, you know, people overestimate a little bit as far as what they're going to pay out. And so now they have a check that could be coming to them.
Correct.
So get your audit done. Yeah. I know it's a hassle. But Beth, you have been doing this for, you know, as you said, 10 or 11 years as far as the commercial side. You've helped a lot of folks with their audit. And I'm not saying you're, you know, an accountant, but...
Nope. I help guide. You know, yeah. I tell them if they do have an accountant, which is great if they do, I'll say, I need you to get this. They will get it, and then we can move forward with whatever information. But I help with the guidance of it.
Yeah. And so, again, we say for our new, you know, when the new customer comes in, you tell them that. You tell them, listen, this is going to happen when we write these policies. You know, among all the other stuff, we say this audit is going to happen. This is not like maybe they're going to audit you. They're going to audit you at the end of the year. You have to do this.
Correct.
And so, we don't want people to be afraid. And if they are, all they have to do is call you.
Correct. That's the best thing you can do.
All they have to do is call you. And you can really guide people through the process of getting it done.
Correct.
All right. So the audit, let's say I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I have filled out my paperwork. I have realized I'm getting either, I've paid too much or I've paid too little. So what happens next as far as the billing process?
So if you paid too much, great. You get some money back. They apply to the balance if there is an outstanding balance.
Okay. Or so I was going to say, am I going to get a check?
You may. It depends on if you have an outstanding balance. They first look and apply it to any outstanding balance. If there is no balance, you will get a nice check in the mail.
Okay. Depending on how much it is.
Correct. Right?
Okay. So let's say the opposite happens. I underestimated and I have to pay some more.
You will get an invoice for the difference that is due. It's usually due within a couple weeks.
Okay.
And then many times they will then increase your current policy with that payroll and you'll get another bill. So essentially you could pay double whatever the audit was.
Okay. Which again, that scares a lot of people. That's a lot of reasons that folks sometimes avoid it.
Correct.
And it's not helping you at all. It's just compounding the issue. The issue is going to continue to be, it's going to snowball.
Correct.
They're going to keep asking for it.
Yep.
And so are they going to lower my premium, or not my premium, but my payroll if I tell them that I, you know, I do the audit and my payroll is 50 instead of 100. Does that mean my new premium for my new policy is going to be based on 50,000 or is it still going to be based on 100?
Many times with our carriers, I have seen that the renewal is still based on the old payroll. Yes.
Yeah. Unless there's some really go ahead. Yeah.
And we can also, you know, like, but if you say to me, my payroll isn't this 100,000, it's 50, it's 75.
Yeah. I'm no longer doing that class of business.
Right.
I'm no longer doing carpentry. I'm now doing masonry. I know it's drastic change. But if I come to you and have a real legitimate reason as to why that payroll figure is going to be different,
I can request from the carrier, they're going to ask me the reason, or they might ask for documentation, meaning the last 3 months of a payroll or something. But 9 out of 10 times when I've had this experience, they have adjusted it to what the need is.
Okay. So it's as we say all the time, just ask.
Yep.
just ask us and talk to us, and we'll be able to help some way, shape, or form. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, it wasn't maybe. That bad.
Well, you know, sometimes people get a little nervous about doing this, but I think we got through all of the outline that we were looking to do. We really just wanted to give folks kind of a highlight of workers' comp, how it works, what the policy is, in the audit. The audit is the big thing. And this time of year, a lot of people are in that process of doing their audits. So thank you again, Beth. I hope to have you on the podcast this again soon.
Maybe again, maybe not too soon.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. We'll have to come to some kind of agreement there. But we will talk some more commercial line stuff at some point, I have no doubt. So that is it for this episode. We hope you had fun and it was informative. And you please take a minute to subscribe to our podcast. Share it with anyone you think would benefit from listening. And remember, if you're looking for insurance here in Massachusetts for your home, auto, or commercial, call Beth, right?
Yep, give me a call.
Commercial operations, you can find us at insuringyourway.com. Of course, on any of our social media platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, you can find us there. Thank you for listening to the Fink and Paris Insurance Podcast, local and mighty. Have a great day.
See you, Beth. Thanks. Bye, Pat.
Bye.